EU, like a deer in the headlights, stares down shortages now intensely facing Germany.
Many citizens, many medium-sized enterprises, and many businesses in general are under severe strain and have, of course, seen this not only at the petrol stations in recent weeks, but also in terms of energy costs for businesses, whether in the form of fuel or raw materials.
How can we reduce the demand? Because, of course, the least expensive energy is the energy that is not used.
While in the UK, the British economy continues to circle the toilet bowl, according to the IMF.
The International Monetary Fund has downgraded Britain's economic prospects more than any G7 country in its latest update on the state of the global economy.
Front and center, the fallout in Ireland continues after a week of fierce nationwide fuel protests that saw farmers and truckers block refineries, ports, and highways, bringing supply chains to a grinding halt. Over punishing diesel prices, global shocks, and Michael Martin's coalition carbon tax machine.
Government is now extending the temporary measures to reduce excise duty on petrol, diesel, and marked gas oil from the end of May to the end of July, postponing the increase in carbon tax from May until the budget in October.
The willful obstruction of public roads and the movement of vehicles and persons are offences under various statutes, including the Public Order Act and Road Traffic Act. As part of our well-established graduated policing response in dealing with protests, and Garda Síochána is now moving to an enforcement phase in relation to those impacting on critical infrastructure unless they desist and disperse from these blockades.
How can meetings and meetings and nothing for the people? There's thousands and thousands and thousands of Irish farmers and truckers, business people, builders of every corner of this country are all over the place. Absolutely frustrating. They don't know whether they're going to be in business in a few months' time. And this is the result. Nothing.
Gas stations ran bone dry, traffic chaos choked Dublin, and emergency services scrambled while ordinary citizens bore the brunt. In a desperate bid to calm the anger, the government rushed out a €505 million support package that included lower fuel taxes and delayed the new carbon taxes, threatening to devastate ordinary Irish citizens. The damage runs deep, igniting raw fury at an establishment that brazenly places climate dogma ahead of Irish families struggling with housing shortages and the chaos of uncontrolled mass immigration.
What did Big Jim James Bond himself quote and do? He said, "We'll turn the army on our own citizens," which is reminiscent of something that you would hear in South America. It is reminiscent of a Pyrrhonist. And then we have the man that turned away from the woman in Kentucky not so long ago, but during this election, and we didn't want to hear. And all of a sudden, he's gaslighting the country, saying he's concerned about the 900,000 people on waiting lists. All of a sudden, he's concerned about the 60,000 people on housing lists. He's concerned about the 116,000 people that are waiting for HAP. That's what this government is concerned about. You're concerned about nothing, only serving yourselves.
Irish political party Sinn Féin rammed through its no-confidence motion. The government countered with its own confidence motion and held the line, defeating the challenge.
Don't forget, folks, what's happening here in Ireland is happening everywhere. The amount of messages I get saying it's happening in Canada, it's happening in Australia, it's happening in Europe. This is a global agenda, 2030, right?
Taoiseach Michael Martin clings to power for now, yet the votes exposed a rattled regime scrambling amid public outrage as the Emerald Isles people question how long distant globalist agendas will override their right to affordable fuel and basic national sovereignty. John Bound reporting for InfoWars.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
Been an oil spill for as long as I've been an info warrior, 18 years. and Texan, born and raised, so I know like knives like you do. And I finally broke down and ordered one. I got the neon orange, and I'm blown away. I've had Benchmark knives that are easily $400. Had them for a year, lost them. This thing has the same feel, same quality, same, I mean, everything about it. I haven't had a knife stay this sharp in a long time, and I'm like horrible with equipment. I'm like very abusive with knives at work every day. I'm extremely impressed. I'm very impressed. So anybody out there listening, who knows there's a knife, comes back in stock, get one. You know, any of them. I want to get the ring knife when it comes back out. Other than that, I'll join all the supplements and,
Yeah, particularly the pocket knives, the folding knives, the flip knives are super high quality at incredibly low prices. I mean, these same knives sell in stores all day for like $80, we're selling for like $40. We'll be right back.
Front lines of the information.
Welcome back to the second hour of the War Room. You just saw John Bound's report. I believe that's the second time we played it today. You played it this morning.
Yeah, I played it on the Alex Jones Show.
I am being joined by Harrison Smith, and we are in the podcast section of the backup life pod.
That is escape pod.
Escape pod that's been jettisoned out on Earth. It's a little bit bigger than the capsule. I saw a video when the Artemis capsule,
yes,
the alleged moon slingshot,
yeah,
capsule,
they came back.
And literally the guys who are on the boat, they put this little buffer up there, so I guess they don't get cut. You know, who knows what's, you know, how nasty the outside,
yeah, yeah,
is. And they climb in, and it gets bigger and bigger. It's like somebody wrote there. It's like the TARDIS. It's,
yeah,
like,
yeah,
you open the door and you're like, whoa, it's a big room.
Like the tents from Harry Potter. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like totally.
We do not have that here. No, it's cozy. It's quite cozy in these studios.
Definitely. Definitely. And so I think we're going to start off this with talking about something that not a lot of people are talking about, and that is what's going on in Ireland. You've got some interesting stuff you just found. I found a couple. We've got the Minister of State, Michael Healy, announcing his resignation. And then Ken O'Flynn, very, very Irish name.
Very Irish.
He seems sort of like a Ron Paul type, you know, populist. And that's, you know, we'll play their two videos, but you've got one, and this is sort of a tactic that's always been used. I felt it when I was in Pittsburgh in 2009. We were covering the G20, and instead of having the local cops there, they had state police from all over the country running security there. And I actually got, when I got arrested, it was from a Florida state trooper.
Right.
So it wasn't anybody near that area, like listening to what people were saying, or, you know, being part of the community, like, oh, I'm arresting my neighbors. No. You always go out and get people from the outside because they don't have a familial connection to those people.
Yep.
And so they're more likely to bash skulls in. And so where's the Irish government recruiting people now?
Yeah. So this is a crazy video that I found a while ago, maybe back in like 2024 or something. So, because this has been going on for a while, and the story about Ireland is years and years old. It's obvious that Ireland has been targeted for destruction. I think the latest I read was something like 24% of the Irish population is now foreign born. So, I mean, they are literally being replaced. They're being targeted extremely heavily for the immigration. And then what we have here with a video that we have, and guys, if we've brought it in, I want to make sure that we have it. They are actually making TV advertisements to air in Pakistan in the Pashtun language for recruitment into the Irish Garda, which is their, you know, federal police force. So they are literally importing a foreign army that they will arm and put a badge on their chest and say, you now have authority over the Irish people. And they are deploying basically, yeah, armed foreigners to go around and attack Irish people. So you want to talk about this being an old strategy. I mean, Roman emperors did this. I think there's a quote from, it's either Aristotle or Plato or somebody, but it's, you know, often said in these types of situations, which is the tyrant always prefers foreigners because he can sort of wield them against their own people, against his own people. So that's what they're doing in Ireland. We can go to this video and play the audio, and you can hear the, you know, police captain telling the people of Pakistan on Pakistani television, we want you to come be a policeman in Ireland. It's crazy.
I want to hear the accent.
We really want to get the message out there about the Pakistan community, the Muslim community, and the broader community of the different nationalities that make up Ireland, that we want to see represented in our national police force and making a real difference. So please put in that application.
Assalamu alaikum, my name is Hafsa Hussain. I am a POC Ireland media advisor. Ireland mein basne wale overseas Pakistani ke liye bahut achhi khabar hai ki Garda Shia Khana ne apni recruitment jo hai wo dobara se khol di hai. Agar aap 18 to 34 years ki age mein hain to aap apply kar sakte hain. Iske liye aapko SAM 4 chahiye. Irish language ki zarurat nahi hai aur jo khawateen hijab pehenti hain unke liye bahut achhi khabar hai ki wo job agar guards ke liye karti hain to apna hijab bhi pehen sakti hain. To sabse guzarish yahi hai ki aap na April ke 14 tarikh tak apni applications bhej dein. Thank you.
Hashtag with an Irish accent.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, so that's what they're doing. And, you know, obviously there is a major contention between the Garda and the Irish people. And you just see, I mean, it really is just a shocking sight when you've got these, like, military barracks being built, these, like, you know, giant compounds where they're planting. In some cases, it'll be like 1,000 African men in a village of 500. And the village is like, we don't want this. We don't want these people here. This will destroy our
this
character.
Was our tourism hotel that they're
Literally. Yeah. This is going to destroy our tourism. I mean, it's just, it's awful for them. And they try to prevent it. And they try to, you know, put up roadblocks. And the Garda just come in and just wreck them. And it's one of the things that I think people have a misconception about, because we tend to sort of mock Europe for being soft. Their police are insane. Like, our police are so much nicer than European police. And they have a militarism in their police, whether it's Germany or France or UK. I mean, you see it there. They don't play games, and they come in and they stomp the people into the ground.
Unless you're a migrant.
Unless
you're a migrant, you can kind of do whatever you want. They'll sit and talk with you. They'll try to reason with you, even though the languages aren't the same.
Yeah.
You see the videos all the time. I've got a video that I want to go to, which is, but before we go to these other ones, this is clip 17. This is BBC cutting an interview short. They're interviewing a black man. He's got he's probably born in Britain because he's got a very British accent. And they're like, how do you feel about the migrants? And he gives them a mouthful. He gives them a, you know what? He gives them the one, two. And they're basically like, okay.
they run
in
away.
Other news, you know, they just...
This guy's awesome. This guy's awesome.
This is a great clip.
He's also a little bit more than half in the bag, I think. But that's when the truth really comes out. Maybe not, but...
Well, he's at least one Guinness deep, and he's got another one on deck. So, you know, and he's probably pissed off, because the reason he's drinking two Guinnesses and not four Guinnesses is because he probably doesn't have any money.
That's probably right.
Because he's not getting paid. So here it is. This is clip 17.
Steve, you're a resident of Swindon. What do you think the next council should be focusing on?
Well, I think they should regenerate the town centre. I think it's turned into like a bunch of flat area, and there's pure immigrants around here. There's dangerous areas here for women and children. I don't think it's safe. I'm all right. I'm a bit of a boy. But locally, I think there's people around here what are pretty scared to come into the town centre now. I don't come in very often. I don't bank in town. I only come in for a Guinness. That's what I come in town centre for. I've got a few
come in for all around here.
But they need to regenerate the town centre and jobs. Bring the wages up. Do more for the working people, less for the people that are not working.
Really,
I've got a friend
now
who earns £1,500, and he's not over £1,500, he's not working. I work and I get less than £1,900. I'm not happy.
Big one unhappy voter there. Big.
Yeah.
Well, they're like, okay, that's enough of that. That's enough of that.
You know, the producer's in his ear like, this is not the black guy you were supposed to interview.
You got the wrong guy.
My goodness.
I love it. And he's like, my friend doesn't work and he makes £1,500. I work and I make £1,900. It's infuriating.
And that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to train people not to work, not to want to work, so then they can bring in universal basic income. And there's some, you know, there's early adopters out there. There's people who jump into AI early. There's people who jump into universal basic income early. And that's what we're seeing now with this. Which one should we go to first? This Irish Minister Michael Healy-Rae announcing his resignation. And he's stating he will vote no confidence. So he's actually voting no confidence in it and dropping out. People are saying the dominoes are beginning to fall. But you've got these police recruitment videos. So maybe this is what I see. People are resigning because they have other things that something else is happening. It's not really they're resigning because they care about the Irish people. They're probably being investigated for something, sort of like with Swalwell.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, that's interesting. No, I mean, you know, Ireland is sort of different than other European countries. Just, I don't know. I get a different sense of them. They seem a little bit more hardcore. And, you know, what's his name? The boxer, the fighter, Colin McGregor, was, you know, writing these tweets of like, hey, we're going to come basically sack the capital if you don't do what we say. I mean, they seem to be taking this more seriously than other countries. Places like the UK just, I mean, they'll go out and they'll protest, but they just get shut down by the cops there. So I think like Ireland is like one place that I have hope that they're not going to let themselves be totally destroyed, especially because they haven't been saddled with the guilt and self-hate that people in Germany and everywhere, England especially, because of the horrible colonialism they did. They deserve, you know, to be destroyed. But Ireland's like, wait, we've been fighting against imperialism our entire existence, and now we have to be the homeland of every African that wants to make it here? It's ridiculous.
Well, and if you look at media reports, they're basically saying, oh, it's the right wing coming in here trying to stir up trouble about migration. People are pissed about the price of gas, and now they're adding this other. No, they're pissed about the migration, too. And it's not just the right wingers. We played a couple weeks ago, Alex played a video of a guy just talking about what was going on. And it's the migration. These people are mad about that. And because the migration is what causes the gas prices to go up. When you have more people taking less supply, limited supplies, the prices are going to go up. Your roads are going to get worse. Your transportation is going to get destroyed earlier because you just have more people.
Well, it's like
than what are supposed to be there.
Absolutely. And the housing crisis in Ireland, routinely you'll see these videos of a new house opens up and the line is around the block and none of the people look Irish to me. So it's like they can't afford homes. They're being forced out of everywhere. Then you've got this, you know, fuel restriction on top of it. It's all part of the same program, obviously, of just total destruction of Europe overall. At least some Irish politicians seem to be sort of bucking the trend. But like all these European countries, they can just manipulate this parliamentary system to where even if the right wing party wins, the center right and the left wing party make a coalition to keep them out of power.
Right.
I mean, it's really, I don't know. They're really forcing the population into a difficult position.
It's definitely more generational than what we have here. Let's go to clip 7. This is a short clip, but this is Michael Hayley Ray announcing his resignation.
And because of the fact that I believe this government have left the people of Ireland down, I will be voting no confidence in the leader of the country, and I will be tendering my resignation as a Minister of State from now. And I would ask that future governments and this government, that they would listen, that they would be kind, that they would be understanding.
No, we're going to go get Pakistanis to beat the crap out of y'all.
No, they're very kind and understanding to the infinite number of foreigners that want to arrive there. It's just when the Irish say, hey, do you mind not destroying my town? That's the real thing that outrages them.
And I think we're going to see the same thing in Hungary. They just elected a new guy and he's like, oh, we're not going to take down the border wall just yet. You know, and you know, but they don't want to pay the fines. And they're like, we're getting these fines every year. We don't really want to pay them. So, you know, we're just going to start letting people in and changing the culture. And at some point, you're going to see the same thing. It's going to take 10, 15, 20 years to happen in Hungary, what's already happening now in the UK. And I think the UK's got a big rise up on May 16th. Tommy Robinson's leading something. I'm seeing all kind of people going to be there for that. But let's go to Ken O'Flynn. He goes nuclear about the political change that is coming. And I hope it is. I hope these people pull their heads out of their butts and really start to, you know, take control of their destiny, because they have to do it, because nobody's going to do it for them. The only people that are coming are more foreigners.
Yeah, absolutely. And really, it should be Americans helping out with this. There's more Irish people of Irish descent in America than there are in Ireland.
The mix, yes.
Yeah, so I'm not saying we should be running guns to them, but I am actually saying that. I do actually think we should be doing that.
All right, let's go to Ken.
I don't know.
Down the ordinary people that this government say they represent and that they say they live amongst. The reality is they've blamed Trump for absolutely everything. We've heard government get up and stand about Trump. Donald Trump isn't in charge of NORA. He's not in charge of the carbon tax in this country. He's not in charge of that in this country. And he's not in charge of excise. What did Sean Kenny do? He said, go out and walk or go out and cycle. What did big Jim James Bond himself go out and do? He said, we'll turn the army on our own citizens, which is reminiscent of something that you would hear in South America. It is reminiscent of a Pyrrhonist. And then we have the man that turned away from the woman in Kentucky not so long ago, but the during this election and we didn't want to hear. And all of a sudden, he's gaslighting the country, saying he's concerned. He's concerned about the 900,000 people on waiting lists, all of a sudden. He's concerned about the 60,000 people on housing lists. He's concerned about the 116,000 people that are waiting for HAP. That's what this government is concerned about. You're concerned about nothing, only serving yourselves. And I applaud Deputy Healy Ray, and I say well done to him for having a bit of backbone. And if those that turned up at the protests down in Whitegate or anywhere else in the country, in Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, that turned up there and said, we're with you, lads, and we're going to get rid of Micheál in a couple of weeks. If any of you have any bit of backbone, join with Healy Ray and vote against this government, and let's call the election. Thank you.
Wow. Yeah, powerful stuff.
The Irish are pissed. Is anything going to change? I don't know. But they are doing a good job at staying peaceful. They've been pepper sprayed. They've been dragged away and arrested. And they're still maintaining, we're just going to have peaceful resistance. And as long as they can do that, but what's going to happen is, you know, what's the old adage? You bring in those people who are, the provocateurs. We saw it in Canada many, many years ago, and it was actual police that they sent in to start just roughing people up. And when they when the police started figuring out who they were, they could tell by the boots. They were wearing the same exact boots. And they actually, when they grab one, they look at the bottom, and his boot's the same as the cop boot. And then they're like, look, these are cops coming in here, and they're giants. And
agent provocateurs.
We saw that in Pittsburgh, too.
Yep.
Giant dudes dressed up like Antifa that don't look like they're Antifa. Right. Antifa are like wafy little, they have that kind of slime about them. And these guys were like big and buff, just like,
walking around, starting trouble.
Right.
Explicitly to get the crackdown,
Exactly. And that's what they did. They were able to get that back in 2009 and basically do. And I think they were just practicing kettling maneuvers, This is how we're going to round up the American citizens. Luckily, because I this was kind of an aftershock of 2008 with the Wall Street, protests.
Yeah, Occupy.
Occupy Wall Street protests. So this was in 2009, just a year later. And I think they were still freaked out about the left and right coming together, because that's what we saw there too. And that's what I think you need to see. And all the people need to realize, it's not about political parties. It's about, do you want to determine your own future at the end of the day? So that's where we're at with these with the Irish.
Yeah, well, and of course the classic image is the continent of Africa and the Irish island, and it's like, you expect everyone from this place to fit in this place. It's absurd. It's ridiculous. There's no argument, which I don't agree with the arguments anyway, but at least there's something there where you can say, well, England conquered all these places, so really it's fair play to them. Again, I think that's ridiculous, but it at least makes logical sense, because England went out and colonized everybody. There's no reason to do this to the Irish. The Irish didn't do anything to anybody. They've been really supportive of very unpopular positions across the world for a very long time. They have a very strong track record of helping the Lebanese and the Palestinians against Israel, again, because they sort of know how it feels with England right next door and hundreds of years of oppression against the Irish there. So they've always sort of supported these smaller, countries or peoples that are up against a bigger fight. And yet, who's fighting for Ireland? Where are the people, out there going, hey, this is wrong what you're doing to Ireland? Which is why, I say, we should run guns to them, kind of half in jest. But, when you think about what we do overseas, we're running guns to the, Syrian rebels, and it's like,
gave a lot of guns to Ukraine, and 30% of them end up just going away. We don't know where they're at.
Exactly. And so it's like, if anything was normal, it'd be like the Irish struggle for survival is just as valid as whatever. It's actually more valid than what we did in Syria or anywhere else. And it's strange to me that we can't break through this sort of anti-white, anti-European mindset that says that the Irish people don't deserve a homeland or a future. It's sick.
Yeah, and it's an EU mindset, definitely. Yeah. That the EU's got these, once they got their tentacles, once the EU happened, and we saw Brexit, at least England really hasn't changed much since Brexit. They're like, yeah, you can vote for it. We're still going to bring in migrants.
They're basically
punished for it. Exactly. And now it's harder for you to travel. It's harder for you to get euros. It's harder for you to get money and participate in the European banking system. And, you know, even though I could go, I could participate in the European banking system, no problem. But it's harder for the British to do that because they chose to stand up for, you know, sovereignty.
And everybody knew that Brexit was about migrants. Like, you know, it was about a bunch of stuff. It was about the economic zones and whatever. But at the end of the day, everybody knew it was a referendum on migration. And it was the UK saying we do not want to be beholden to the EU, you know, obligations to accept foreigners. And yet they passed Brexit and just nothing happened. If anything, you know, the rate of migration increased, and they've been punished for daring to suggest that they not be subject to the EU's tyrannical measures.
And they always seem to have plenty of money to house migrants, migrants not to work,
Infinite money.
Them free phones. But then anything else, you know, regular services need to be, oh, no, we don't have money for that. We don't have money for that. We don't have money to pay people. But, you know, you got to keep paying for the BBC to propagandize you.
Mm-hmm.
But every once in a while, you do get something.
You get an accident.
You get a guy that leaks through.
He
slips through the stream.
But, like, and it's not even like a, you know, just a thing where it's like, oh, they're treated better than us. No, like the NHS has specific programs where the illegal immigrants get better services than the locals. Like they get tooth and eye and everything, and the locals have to literally go to the back of the line. So, I mean, again, this is the problem with socialized medicine, especially when your government hates your native people. It's not a great combo.
That's true. And people think, oh, we're going to get Obamacare. It's going to be great health care. And it's like, no, your health care is even worse, and it costs twice as much.
Or we can go the Canadian route and just euthanize everybody.
That, you know what? And that's on the table, too. They are looking at especially, I think you go to Oregon and Washington.
There are a couple of states here that do it.
They're like, yeah, we'll kill you. We'll kill you. Oh, life's getting tough. Come watch this movie.
Yeah. You know? You're too poor. You're, you know, we hurt you with something. I mean, that's the craziest one. The woman in Canada who was forced to get the vaccine paralyzed her, and then they offered to kill her.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, oh, sorry, you know, we took this thing we mandated, it paralyzed you. We can kill you if you want. I mean, it's like that sort of is like the mindset of the European and Western elite at this point is just like, oh, we destroyed your country, so it's time for all of you to die.
Right. And we're going to bring in people who are so happy to be here because they come from dirt huts. And now they're coming here with paved roads, and they're so happy. They'll do whatever we tell them to do as long as we keep paying them money. And if they get out of hand, we're not worried about it. We lived over here in the walled cities.
Yep.
We're not going to be affected by this. You guys get to live with it. You guys get to feel the brunt of it.
And they know, you know, that this is something that's going on in the UK right now because, again, like every day in the UK, there's another horrible rape or murder from a migrant. And there's a big protest going on right now. When it's the British people protesting, they're doing it peacefully. The police come in, kettle them up, brutalize them, destroy the whole thing. When it's the Muslims protesting, they tend to riot. They tend to bring metal bars, and the police literally run away. There's tons of videos going around right now of just the British police full tilt running away from the migrants. So there's this weird thing that, like,
and then if you say something wrong about that, like if you, I think you then they arrest a guy talking about bacon. He's like, it smells like bacon. I want some bacon.
They're
like,
dude, they've read,
we're going to arrest
you. Stuff.
You can't say that.
There's a guy that was like, just like hard of hearing, and he's like, I can't understand you, you know, speak English. And they, you know, the cops roll up on him. It's insane, but it's almost like they're teaching them, like, unless you're dangerous, we're going to abuse you.
Right.
Like, if you're the Muslim population and we're scared of you and you might bomb us or hit us with metal bars, then we'll let you do whatever you want. But those British who are polite and nice and follow the law, we can abuse them as much as we want.
And you get the same mentality here. It's like, oh, you're a criminal? You get to go back out on the streets.
Yep.
Oh, you didn't pay all your taxes? We're going to take everything you own and put you in prison.
Yep.
But other than that, you know, everything's cool other than that.
Yeah, so. There's another post I saw today. It was Minneapolis, and he's like, I'm trying to get my sink repaired. In order to get my sink repaired, the plumber had to go get a permit here. This person had to approve. This person had to approve. And he's sitting there going, I'm being subject to more scrutiny over replacing a sink than some of these daycare centers for receiving $20 million a year. I mean, it's beyond just like, oh, you know, they get to do whatever they want. It's like they get tens of millions of dollars to do whatever they want. Meanwhile, if you want to have a lemonade stand, they're going to, you know, kick your teeth in.
All right, we're going to continue this on the other side of the break. We're going to get into Trump going after the...
Everything I sell to you works. Obviously, that's the goal. So that you get it, and you like it, and you want to get it again. Everything I sell to you, we put deep research into, and I personally use. Now, I've been promoting zeolites for decades with great sponsors because they really work. I'm going to tell you what they are. Well, Bigley, our sponsor, has a really high-quality, private-label, top-selling brand that we were able to private-label we're bringing to you right now. With the unprecedented toxins in the environment, with the chemtrailing, all the garbage in the food, it is more important than ever to take zeolites on a regular basis. But not all zeolites are created equal. This is really a high-quality zeolite. Please do your own research
and then go to the theolivestonestore.com and secure our high-quality zeolite formula. Now let's go over just some of the incredible facts. We're swimming in toxins every single day. Metals from the air, chemicals in the food and water. Your body needs help binding and eliminating this garbage before it builds up and destroys your cells. Enter Zeolite Detox Defense, advanced binding agent. This isn't some gimmick. Zeolite is a naturally occurring volcanic mineral with a unique cage-like crystalline structure that acts like a molecular trap. Through ion exchange and absorption, it selectively grabs positively charged toxins, heavy metals, ammonia, and other unwanted compounds while letting beneficial minerals stay put. Then it escorts them straight out of your system through your gut. Paired with folic acid, it also supports healthy mineral transport and cleaner internal environment. Users report feeling lighter, more balanced, and clear-headed with consistent daily use. Just one dose a day gives you 60 full servings of detox support. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't steer you wrong. You know that. If you love our methylene blue, if you love our bovine colostrum, if you love the other incredible products like our T3 iodine, you are going to love this Zeolite Detox Formula. Secure yours now at thealexjonesstore.com. And if you haven't checked out the other supplements like our methylene red that's proprietary to us, our ultramethylene blue that is on record the strongest and the best, then check it out today. And while you're there, check out the widest selection of Patriot apparel, baseball caps, t-shirts, hoodies, you name it, to spread the word of freedom in America and worldwide. Bottom line, thanks for keeping us on the air over the years. We're facing some of the biggest challenges ever to stay on the air. But thanks to you standing with us as our partners, the InfoWar, we are stronger than ever. So thank you so much for your support. Now please visit theolivestonestore.com today. And if you want to get massive discounts on all the supplements, sign up as a subscriber, lock in your orders in the future. You can cancel any time. So all you're really locking in is the massive discounts. Same thing with VIPs. Cancel any time, $30 a month, get $40 to spend in the store, special deals, special offers, special sales on everything. So if you're buying anything at thealexjonesstore.com, you should be a VIP. Thank you so much for your support. Now secure your Zeolite formula now at thealexjonesstore.com. I know you're the big health guy. You're way better shape than I am. Don't kick my ass. I've seen you working out with the Liver King. You say you've taken methylene blue before. I want you to take our medical grade. It takes 30 minutes to kick in. So good for your body. I'd like you to drink this, Jay. You said earlier it would. I appreciate it. I want to get your true review. If it doesn't work, tell me. Here it is, brother.
Cheers.
Looks just like the stuff from Doom, the water of life. He's drinking the juice of a strangled, drowned sandworm right now. Baron Harkonnen is not happy. We're going to see what happens.
20 minutes later.
I feel like my brain is clearer and working faster. It feels like my brain and my energy have had the accelerator hit on them. I felt it in my brain and my energy.
Well,
I like it. I'm going to get me some before I leave.
We're going to give you a couple bottles of it, bro. We love it. It's amazing. Get yours now, thealexjonesstore.com.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
We're back on the War Room. This is Rob Dew hosting, Harrison Smith sitting in. You know, kind of what this is we're going through the process of production. People think that, you know, you could be a 12-year-old in your closet with a little box and go beep, and you're live and everything works. It's not how it happens.
No, not here. That's for sure. No, it's one of the great things about InfoWars is like even just the quality of the sets, the quality of the production. It shows that somebody put time into this, that there's people, the crew is here. A lot of people care enough about this to make it look good, which means that the information is good. I still think that's an extremely valuable thing to have, even when so many people are just, you know, doing it in their basements.
And that's not what we do. And doing
a
podcast is a lot different than what we do, which is we have a live show that's on every we're slaves to the clock. You know, the show starts at 11. You know, Jones show goes 11 to 3. And then at 3 o'clock, there's a 2-minute break. And then at 2:58, Then at 3, the war room starts. And then there's a one-minute break, and then there's a four-minute break, and then a two-minute break. And that's how the clock works, and you're not messing with the clock.
You got to conform yourself to the clock.
The clock, and so we have we're a radio show first that was then turned into a TV show that then we also put out there as a podcast. So it's like three beasts going on at the same time that you all have to make work together. And they don't always work together, but you have to make them work together no matter what.
Yeah, and honestly, it's good for me because I'm the type of person that, like, because I know it's
I need another hour.
Yeah, I'll be like, let's delay it 5 minutes, and then it just never gets done. But it's like, no, you have to be in the chair. You have to be ready to go at this time because it's going live. And if you're not there, then you're screwing over the crew who's sitting there going, what do we do? What do you know? So it's, I don't know. It's good to work within these constraints. It really forces you to level up in a lot of ways.
It definitely does. And you know, one of the things that I'm going to take a little deviation. We're going to talk about the Pope and Trump here in a second, but I want to sidetrack to this. This is a video that came out, and it's an American talking about the subscription models that we're all beholden to.
Oh, my God, yes.
You know, there's cars that you can't get heated seats unless you pay a subscription.
Yeah.
And she's bitching. I think she's bitching about her garage door opener. You can't have somebody else open your garage door unless you pay a subscription, which is like, what?
Oh, my God.
It's crazy. So, guys, this is clip – what clip is this? Clip 10. Yeah, so let's play this, and then we'll come back and talk about it. And then some solutions to get around some of these subscriptions, even find some freeware here. I have some freeware tips here coming around the bend. So let's go to that clip 10.
It's great that everything's a subscription now. Everything's just a rental. It's fantastic. I love that. Didn't have to do a whole lot to convince everybody to be okay with it. They just went, instead of charging you one time for Photoshop, we're going to charge you 3/4 of the price of Photoshop every month for the rest of your life until you die. And we all went, that sounds great. Thank you so much. Printers on subscription services now because printing was already so fucking easy. May as well get an app involved. You get 15 pages of printing free until you hit a paywall. And now you got to pay a monthly fee to use a physical object already in your house on paper that you already purchased. There are some garage door openers that are on subscription services now. Now you have to rent the ability to open a door in a house that you own. Or more likely, in a house that you rent. You are renting the ability to open doors in the house that you rent. Even better. Did you guys know that medical software is on a subscription too? The software that doctors need to use the machines to do neurosurgery? Sometimes doctors will go into neurosurgery and go, oh shit, our subscription needs to be renewed. We need to get our account manager on the phone before we can do neurosurgery. The last person I want involved in my neurosurgery is a member of the sales team, okay? We have to get a guy named Matt on a Teams call before you guys can operate. Oh, it's gone.
Yeah,
down.
Do you the have
fact
the new code?
Everything's on subscription now makes me really confused when people are optimistic about brain chips. They're going to advertise it by being like, now you can see the world how dogs see the world. But little do you know that now dog vision is the lowest tier subscription that you can have. And if you want to see like a human again, that's another $18.99 a month. After you took the bait and fell for dog vision, they're going to put taste and smell on dynamic pricing. You don't think these people are going to go so far as to make us rent our own bodies? We basically already are.
Boom.
Wow, that's a great point. Now, even just the Photoshop thing, it's so accurate. It's like instead of letting you just buy it and own it, we're going to charge you basically the same amount on a perpetual basis. It's very convenient.
You can actually people do this on eBay. You can find the older versions of Adobe Studio. And I believe it's Adobe Studio 6 is the last version that you could buy and own on a disc.
A physical copy, yeah.
But see, it's on a disc.
Yeah.
Oh, nobody has discs anymore, so you have to go find a disc drive to hook up to it, and then get your stuff uploaded to the computer, which probably won't work on the latest version of Mac OS.
Yeah, I seriously doubt it. So you know, maybe piracy will make a comeback or something. Because I never paid for Photoshop all through high school, but I used it a lot.
There you go. At Deplorable SEO said, there are plenty of alternatives to paid software. You just need to know where to ask. Are brave enough to, dare I say, think different. So then he lists them up here. Web browser, Chrome is a data harvesting machine. The best is Firefox or Brave, although Firefox seems to be a little leftist to mine. And then even stronger, Libra. It's hardened like a Firefox fork. No telemetry or Mullivad browser, which is a Tor project. Office Suite, Microsoft 365 or Google Workspace. You could also get LibreOffice, which is free, or OnlyOffice. We used to use, I think here, we'd use Open Office for a long time.
I've used LibreOffice too.
And then you got Adobe Creative Cloud, an all-in-one free replacement, Affinity Studio.
Yeah.
Might want to check that out, Affinity Studio. Photo editing, GIMP, G-I-M-P.
That one's
it's
been
free
forever.
Open source. It has been. Yeah, layers, masks, PSD support. That's what you do mostly.
Yeah.
Layers and masks. And very close to Photoshop.
There's a lot of good options for Photoshop. And then there's DaVinci Resolve.
Yeah.
And I'll say this because actually I know that this suggestion has led to at least one career in right-wing media. Go get DaVinci Resolve. Maybe I don't want to blow up his spot too much, but I'm going to. Joe Wakili of Hodge Twins fame heard me say one time, hey, you know, DaVinci is free. You can download free video editing software and you can make something. You can take down our videos and edit it yourself. But it is professional quality video editing software that absolutely everybody can get for absolutely free. Or if you just have a phone, you can edit video on that and you can start a career in right-wing media or you can make a meme that, you know, changes somebody's mind. It's actually possible to do that. DaVinci is, and we're not being paid by them or anything, but I just know it's a great product. And
well, there's several people that use it in the office. They got sick and tired of watching the color bar. I'm almost sick and tired of watching the color wheel turn as I just try to select an object in Premiere or make a cut or export something out. And it goes, hey, I'm going to export I have to look at 15 different tracks of audio that you're not even exporting, but I have to look at those first and analyze them before I could dump out your 3-second clip. So hold on. You have a long timeline here with stuff. We're going to analyze all this other stuff that makes no sense and is not part of your project just so we could get to this little piece right here. And that really pisses me off. So, and actually there's a paid version of DaVinci. You can upgrade for $300. And you never have to upgrade ever again.
And you own it. And of course,
right there.
And this, as you point out, there's cars now with where they have the heated seats built in. You just can't access the software unless you pay for it. And so, I mean, this is making its way into the physical world as well.
Exactly. So you got you also got cloud storage, note taking, password managing, antivirus, file compression, media players. VLC is a good one. Also, a good encoder that'll transcode a lot of things. Handbrake.
Oh, yeah.
Totally free. Yeah. Works great.
I think I first downloaded Handbrake on LimeWire in middle school. That's another one that's been around forever.
It looks like you still downloaded it in LimeWire in middle school. Right. Like the interface looks bad. It looks like the 90s, but you know what? It works. And that's the great part about it. Open source is the way to go. And I think you're going to see a lot more people getting on Linux.
Yeah.
They're going to be sick and tired of Microsoft. Yeah. They're sick and tired of when you're working. Oh, we have to update. Sorry. You better sit down for the next hour because I know you're in a hurry, but hey, we got to update this program to do a bunch of things you didn't ask for it to do and to move a bunch of stuff from here to over here so you can't find it anymore.
You know,
because I'm an engineer. All right. I know what to do. I'm an engineer.
I didn't do it wrong. Don't yell at me.
Sorry.
I don't work for Microsoft. No, but everybody experiences this frustration. I mean, my thing is like, okay, you got rid of the check-in person at the airport that used to do everything for you. Now I'm doing it, but my ticket costs the same. You're saving the cost on the salary you're not paying anymore, but I don't see any benefit from this. I think that to me is the absolute biggest frustration. But you know, Windows 11, I was just watching a really interesting video about this. Maybe I should get the data so I can actually present it correctly. But essentially, you know, Microsoft realized that it had this essential monopoly on however they put it, the enterprise system. So
all the companies are using Microsoft.
They just still use Microsoft because they started using Microsoft and they just haven't changed. And so they just decided we're not going to get any more customers. We just need to maximally exploit the people that are already on it and are sort of stuck on it. The person who designed Windows 11 had never used a PC before. Did you not?
Wow.
Yeah. The person that does it, which everybody hates Windows 11.
I'm not surprised.
It's got ads everywhere. I mean, it's about just maximal exploitation because they can't actually make a product that people want. It's really the sign of a declining.
Nothing gets any better. I'm still on an older, this is probably an 8-year-old iPhone right now, 6-year-old iPhone, something like that. It's old because I don't feel like upgrading. And I like the older technology anyway. I like the older cord system that they use, and I had tons of those cords, and it's like, well, no, you got to upgrade to this. We got this new one because the European said we have to go to this new, you know, the USB-C. Nobody cares. People just want stuff that works and works well.
And works for a long time. And of course, this is the irony of the climate change agenda, which of course they've sort of dropped at this point. But you know, probably the person who's done the most damage to the environment ever is probably Steve Jobs. Yeah. I mean, the fact that he deliberately created a system by which you need a new phone every year. At least that's the idea. There's no reason. I mean, it's planned obsolescence, but right. not just to make money, to drive the demand and the, you know, you're not a cool person if you don't have the newest iPhone. I mean, that was deliberately created. And this goes all the way back to like the first Apple, the first computers he made. Wozniak wanted to make it really interchangeable, and he just wanted sort of a
platform.
You could
upgrade. And that's how they used to be. You used to be able to upgrade them. Now exactly. You can't even get into them.
Exactly. Well, remember, the iPod was the first sort of device ever that had a battery that you couldn't remove. And I remember even at the time being like, I don't like this. Because
who did this?
Yeah, it was nice when you could pop out the battery, switch a new one in. If you don't want to be listened to, you pop the battery out. Your phone doesn't have power anymore. But all of a sudden it was like, no, we don't want people to be able to do anything. It's all got to be through us.
Except by the latest version.
All
they wanted to do.
And so you just get this endless production line that just yeah, it's probably causing more actual damage to the earth than anybody, you know, ever has. But they're the hero.
Oh, and now and on top of that, I think they're talking in China. They have like tons and tons of solar panels that they're starting to change out because the old ones are and they're just like, we don't know what to do with these.
Oh my God!
I mean, a solar panel is really nasty.
Yeah,
it's photolithography, but with the nastiest chemicals. It's like that's basically what you're doing is laying all this stuff down on circuit boards.
It's essentially like nuclear waste. I mean, there's a place in Houston. It's just acres and acres and acres because that, and it's also the
windmill turbines.
The windmill turbines are. So
what do you do with those?
They're just putting them in fields and just going, okay,
burying them.
That's just blighted land from now on. It's crazy.
I mean, I can't believe you can't grind those up and use them for something else, but I guess you can't.
I guess not. And it's like, again, just the absurdity of
all. You can't make a road out of these turbines? I mean, you were talking about concrete the other day. Was that you were talking about concrete? Somebody was talking about why we're using concrete. Or why we're still using concrete on the roads. I'm just like, why are we still using concrete? There's got to be something better out there.
You can imagine. I mean, the windmills are just so huge. And like, if they're burying them now, they haven't been around for 20 years. So like, you've got these fields of windmills. You know that not a single one of those windmills made a fraction of the power that it took to build it, to take it down, to destroy it. It's like,
I don't even think they break even and then they're boom, they die.
Yeah.
And then you have to pay to take it down. Then you've got the footprint of where it was.
Plus, it kills birds.
I got this clip. This is you were talking about the Pope the other day. I thought you did a really good job explaining how the Pope is going there praising the Muslims for killing Christians.
Crazy.
In Algeria, right?
Algeria.
And Tom Homan also weighed in on the controversy. Guys, this is the Homan clip 11. We're going to go to that. It's about 30 seconds. But it's basically, you know, Homan's like an old gumshoe. Seems like an old cop from like the 60s or something. If the Pope wants to come down here and take care of these kids, he could do it. But until then, shut up. Basically, here's Homan.
I speak for the president. I'm speaking for myself, a lifelong Catholic. I wish they stay out of immigration. They don't know what they're talking about. Because if they wore my shoes for 40 years and talked to a 9-year-old girl that got raped multiple times, or stood in the back of a trailer, back tractor trailer, and 19 dead aliens at my feet, including a 5-year-old boy that baked to death, if they understood the atrocities that happened on the open border, I think their opinion would change. And I welcome discussion with any of them, because they don't understand. Illegal immigration is not a victimless crime. Where President Trump had the most secure border in the lifetime of this nation right now, lives are being saved. He's saving thousands of lives a year because he has a secure border. Human traffickers are out of business, right? The cartels are going bankrupt because of that secure border.
Wow, that was powerful.
And it turns out Kanoka the Great went back and dug up a bunch of old tweets of Pope Leo.
Yeah.
And he dug these up and he's like, check these out. So here, these are a bunch of retweets where he retweeted. So Robert Prevost was his name.
Right.
And then this account doesn't exist anymore. So in 2020, I join the voice and prayers of those bishops and brothers who are working hard to end racism in our hearts and society. May God give comfort to the families of George Floyd in this time of anguish. He reposted that. Saying Trump's bad hombres line fuels racism and nativism. Call bishops and send preemptive blast on DACA. That was a guy named Rocco, and he retweeted that one. And, you know, some people say retweets aren't endorsements. These are endorsements because I'm going to show you that they are
in
a second. I stand with the dreamers and all the people who are working toward an immigration system that is fair, just, and moral. Well, I don't even know what that means. It's not just, definitely. As Tom Homan just talked about, you know, 9-year-old girls getting raped multiple times. How is that just? Trump and Bukele used the Oval Office to elicit deportation of U.S. residents. Once undocked Salvador himself, now D.C. Ox Avilio asked, do you not see the suffering? Is this not, is your conscience not deserved? How do we stay quiet? He did that one. Chris Murphy, what is he, Senator of Connecticut? To my colleagues, you're cowardice to act and be whitewashed by thoughts and prayers. None of this ends unless we do something to stop it. They always have this catch-all term of, what do they call it? Comprehensive immigration reform, which basically means open borders. We saw what comprehensive immigration reform gets us. And here he is. Here's his own tweet. Thank you. We need to hear more from our leaders in the church to reject racism and seek justice and sign the Catholic climate petition.
Oh, the Catholic climate petition.
So he's all in on the climates, on the migrants. He's a New World Order proxy. And let's not forget where one of his churches is. This is where they like to go, the snake pit.
Yeah. And of course,
and this isn't even the gross parts when you get here to see what this is. It's like all the demons.
Yeah. It's like
flailing around.
Jesus, like coming up from hell. It's totally insane. Yeah. Very, very suspicious stuff. And yeah, you know, my point of this was, you know, I agreed with J.D. Vance when he said, look, the Pope is not a politician. He's he's there to talk about moral things and, you know, he's just doesn't really have a place, which I agree. It's like, okay, he should be able to provide sort of moral guidance above and beyond political considerations, but it should be consistent. And the fact that he's going and laying a wreath, you know, at the tomb memorializing this anti-colonial uprising where they just slaughtered a ton of French Catholics. So he approves of the Algerians violently expelling Catholics who built their entire country, by the way. Algeria didn't really exist before France literally built it from the ruins of the civilization that had been there 1,000 years before. But that's good. That's wonderful. That's anti-colonialism. But if the European people say, hey, you know, maybe flooding us with millions of people a year is a little bit too much, can we turn that tap down? He's like, oh, this is evil. This is awful. So if he was a consistent moral arbiter, then I'd say great. But he clearly has bias against Europeans. He has bias against the Western civilization as far as I can see it. And he's happy to support and really demand that Western Europe be flooded with Muslims, which is like every day there's another church that gets burned somewhere in Europe. There was one burned in Ireland the day before yesterday. There was one burned in the Netherlands yesterday. They're all being burned by Muslim immigrants. So here he is actually encouraging the takeover of the Christian homeland in Europe by Muslims. It's totally inconsistent. There's no consistency there. I don't see any sort of moral certainty of any of this. It's totally arbitrary as far as I can tell. And it's not charitable to be taken advantage of. This, I just want to like drive this into people's heads. If there's a person that's actually suffering, that's actually in need, I do think you have a Christian obligation to help them. If it's just a dude that's lying to you about being in need so he can steal your stuff, you're not a good person for giving him your stuff, right?
Right.
You're not a good person for opening your house to somebody who's just trying to rob you because they've got a sob story. And that's essentially what he's telling us, is believe the fake sob stories or else you're a bad person. No, you're not a good person for being taken advantage of.
Or give millions and millions of dollars to NGOs so they can just not do what they're supposed to do with that money and just kind of fritter away and give it, launder it back to politicians who gave them the money in the first place, and do all the things they're supposed to do with it except, like, feed people.
Yeah.
You know, which is, you'd think with all the money that we spend on feeding people, we could actually feed people. But we don't feed people. It's just more hungry people. That's all we get.
Yeah, endlessly. No, it's just kind of ridiculous, the things this Pope says. Again, I don't understand how you can, you know, have this very hard line, you know, belief about the sacredness of human life, and then you're supporting the number one contributor to death and destruction the world over, the migration crisis. I mean, this is just, I don't want to say, I'm trying not to say retarded as much.
I'll say it for you. It's retarded.
Okay, thank you.
I did just get a text from somebody who said, hey, thanks for the tip on Handbrake.
Oh, nice.
I've downloaded it, helped whatever they were doing.
Oh, there you go.
Probably trying to turn a file, some weird Sony file into a file they could use on Premiere.
And actually edit with, yeah.
Yeah, you know, like even the new files you get on, I'm still on Premiere 2020 because I refuse to upgrade. But I can't even use files I shoot on an iPhone.
Oh, really?
I have to combobulate them before I can pull them in there. It's ridiculous. Yeah. And there was a time, even like in Photoshop or Premiere 2015 or something, we were on that. It wouldn't take anything. You had to like totally turn. You had to turn them into AIC files before I could see them. Which is, I know we're talking weird right now, and we just went off topic. But
this is a persistent thing with Adobe, and they're sort of having trouble too. But they're doing the same thing that Microsoft is. They have this legacy monopolization where
and they think we'll just keep screwing people. Yep. We don't care.
We'll just keep squeezing it.
I've got the guys. This is clip 13. Let's play this. I've never heard this before.
This
is the sound of a data center in Michigan. And some guy, poor guy, has to live next to this. Here's this clip, 13.
It's like insanely loud.
It's like a meat grinder or a sand.
Yeah. Continuously, day and night.
All right, and then they're going to cut to a guy talking.
And you can hardly hear him.
You can hardly hear him.
Yeah.
It's the same sound. It's like they turn the camera around, and that's what this guy gets to live with. Hyperscale data is planning to expand.
Yeah. He's unable to open his windows in the summer.
In the summertime, like I said, we have to have our windows open. And
you can't even hear it.
Listening to that all the time. Yeah, I worry about that, the property values, because who's going to want to, if we want to resell the house, who's going to want to buy the house?
Who's going to want to buy the house?
The data side.
Right, yeah.
We ain't moving there. I mean,
they're getting cheap land. They're freeing up the land all around their data centers.
We're going to make you an offer.
Yeah.
We loved it here, but now.
God.
Not the quiet country city living that we're.
Let's go outside and relax in the yard.
Hey.
Yeah, all your plants are wilting because we're being bombarded with horrible sound waves.
Right.
If it has, I don't know where.
How are you allowed to do this? Like, if I was outside this guy's house with an air horn day and night, they'd arrest me.
Or a band playing a gig.
Right.
You know, we have sound ordinance. How come they don't have sound ordinance?
They have no sound ordinances. And the crazy thing, I mean, these data centers, they are so huge. Like,
keep the sound up. People need to hear this. This is what's going on in America right now.
The one stat I keep going back to, there's one data center in Ohio that's going to use the same amount of electricity as 9 nuclear power plants, which is like, what are they doing this for? What is the argument? I mean, right now, I get my Netflix, I get my Facebook. I don't have a problem with the amount of data we're able to process at this time. Why would we need to build 3,000? We're building 3,000 new data centers at this moment in America. 3,000. Right. Like, half of them are delayed, but.
And Meta has got one. This is clip 12. I think we have time to go to this.
Is this one in Florida?
Maybe we don't. I don't know if we have time to go to this or not. We're flying blind down here. But guys, play clip 12. This is the one in Louisiana. Go ahead.
Y'all want to hear something crazy? You know that large data center that Meta is building in Louisiana? Well, they want Entergy to build 10 gas power plants just to supply the electricity
for
that damn data center. I'm not shitting y'all. They're going to provide enough electricity to power 7 million houses.
Wow.
So climate change is not a concern.
Yeah. Power plant.
Climate change okay now.
Yeah.
Entergy has already signed a contract with Entergy Transfer for them to supply them a pipeline of natural gas. 36-inch pipeline.
That's a big pipeline.
They're going to supply them 1 billion cubic feet a day of natural gas just to power the power plants so they can provide electricity.
I'm very pleased to announce 2 new great products at TheAlexJonesStore.com that will 100% work and deliver you energy, clarity, and also, when you want to relax, great calm, rest, and sleep. Now, a lot of our products are very complex, game-changing, cutting-edge, you name it. But there's a lot of things that are very simple and proven that are still the best. Now, we have several other great energy formulas at TheAlexJonesStore.com. They're more complex. But Ultimate Energy is very, very simple. And this is one of the most popular, long-running energy combinations on the market at Whole Foods and everywhere else because it really works. It's Ultimate Energy, TheAlexJonesStore.com. Very strong dose of wide-spectrum, organic, time-released caffeine with a big dose of high-quality L-theanine that gives you focus and clarity but relaxes you. So with the caffeine, it's very, very smooth without the letdown, lasts up to 10 hours. That's Ultimate Energy. But when you're ready to relax, Ultimate Chill. a strong dose of high-quality ashwagandha root, known for thousands of years, give people rest, clarity, focus. Doesn't make you tired, just makes you relax, kind of a zen focus. And then on top of that, a big dose of L-theanine that also gives you calm, clear focus. Great rest, great relaxation, great dreams. It's so good for your immune system, your entire body. So some days when I've been working from 5 a.m. to say 10 p.m., and I've been, you know, jacked up on our great supplements and you name it, I will go to this formula, Ultimate Chill. That's why I actually came to Big League and said, hey, I'm already using a brand from Whole Foods. This is what's in it. Make it a little bit stronger. So this is a formula I've been using for years to relax. If I'm having trouble being able to kind of ease into non-work mode, and this is how I do it. Simple, proven ingredients that work in a high-quality fusion. Now available at thealexjonesstore.com.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.